May it please the court, my name is Elena McKenna, bar number 41780. I represent respondent appellant City of Golden in this matter. And the issue before this court today is the statutory interpretation of 8-41-209, section 2B, which is the firefighter cancer statute under the workers' compensation system. And the issue is whether the ALJ erred as a matter of law in determining that respondents did not overcome their did not meet their burden in overcoming the statutory presumption under 841-209-2B because they presented evidence of non-occupational risk factors rather than an actual cause in fact of the claimant's prostate cancer and therefore did not meet the statutory burden. The ALJ erred in requiring respondents to prove an actual cause in this matter. 841-209 does not require such a burden. This court, and since the ALJ and the panel had issued their opinions in this in Milan case, subsequently came with the Zukowski opinion in the town of Castle Rock versus Zukowski, which involves an identical issue here in respondent's opinion involving interpretation of 8-41-209 and what type of evidence is sufficient to consider in determining whether respondents overcame their statutory presumption. In this court, in Zukowski held that risk factors outside of a claimant's work constitute sufficient evidence to overcome the statutory burden or presumption if they outweigh the risk of firefighting. And for purposes of this appeal, I'd like the court to know that respondents are no longer disputing that claimant met the initial statutory presumption in this matter. Before today, the case was in a different posture. There were several co-respondents. Today it's just the City of Golden. The co-respondents have reached a settlement agreement and therefore City of Golden is no longer disputing that claimant met its initial presumption. So the sole issue for today is whether respondents overcame that statutory presumption and more specifically what type of evidence may be considered in determining whether we overcame that
presumption.
Isn't
that ultimately a call of the administrative law judge to weigh the evidence and determine whether you've proven it or not sufficiently?
The ALJ is the fact finder, and typically you cannot alter their findings. However, if they've misapplied the law, and as this court noted in Zukowski, if they've misapplied the law, then the deference does not need to be given to their credibility determinations, and that's exactly what has occurred here. They have misapplied the law. If you read the ALJ's order, I'm specifically referring to paragraph 14 of the order in the conclusions of law section, the ALJ found that they credited Dr. Mayer's testimony, who was the claimant's expert, that risk does not equate cause. And that, therefore, because these risk factors were presented of the claimant's prostate cancer outside of firefighting, which namely here involved his significant family history, he had numerous male relatives that were diagnosed with prostate cancer, that evidence of his family history did not equate medical causation. It was solely a risk factor.
And didn't you discount that because the relatives who had contracted two of the three, as I recall, of the relatives who had prostate cancer didn't get it until their 70s?
Well, that was,
he was only 49 or so?
That was one of the discussions on the record, and that was part of the testimony. However, the ALJ focused in her order and her findings that based on Dr. Mayer's testimony that the family history combined with the risk factor of firefighting, that combination was the cause, or more likely cause, of the claimant's prostate cancer. And it's respondent's position that that is an incorrect standard. If one meets the statutory presumption itself under 841-209, then automatically, every single time a case comes where a respondent is trying to overcome that statutory presumption, you're always going to have firefighting as a risk factor. So the standard is not whether firefighting played no positive role in the claimant's development of prostate cancer, but what is the more statistically significant risk factor when you're weighing the two.
But counsel, can I ask you a question about that? Sorry to interrupt.
Sure.
In the City of Littleton case,
yes.
The division of this court noted that the statute presumes that occupational exposures hastened the onset of a cancer that claimant would have developed later. So
correct.
Doesn't that suggest something contrary to what you're arguing now?
The court in the City of Littleton found that in that case, I would argue also it's distinguishable from here, because in that situation, the respondents were not disputing or not presenting evidence of risk factors and trying to overcome the statutory presumption. They were disputing the validity, essentially, of the presumption itself, disputing that the that claimant in that case, his brain cancer, was not caused by his firefighting. So the court in that case did not even have the opportunity to determine what type of evidence is sufficient to overcome the presumption, including risk factors. The court in Chris did state that, you know, the respondents have the burden of disproving specific causation in order to overcome the statutory presumption, and that employers in firefighting cancer cases likely are going to have difficulty in locating the type of evidence that is necessary to disprove specific causation, and that evidence of an alternative cause may be sufficient to overcome the presumption. That is what respondents presented in Zukowski. This is what respondents are presenting here. And the ALJ in this matter, pursuant to her findings and her order, did not assess those risk factors as evidence that she could consider in determining whether the statutory presumption was overcome. If you look at...
It seems to me the statute does two things. It changes the burden.
Correct.
And it requires you to prove a negative.
Correct.
And proving a negative is almost impossible, isn't it?
Well, when you're dealing with cancer, there's no known causes of cancer. All the experts in this matter agreed. Respondents, three experts, and the claimant's expert all agree there's no known cause of cancer.
And there's no known cause of the claimant's cancer. But there's no...
Correct.
There's no direct cause that they can attribute it to.
No, and all the experts agreed on that. And all the experts agreed that in this case, the claimant's predominant risk factor was his family history. You know, Dr. Milliken testified, as well as Dr. Weiss, that there's a 300 to 500% increased risk based on the claimant's family history.
But if I can interrupt you there, just returning to my question, that was discussing the higher risk that the claimant would eventually develop this form of cancer. But the question, as presented by the Littleton case, is whether the firefighter exposure hastened the onset of the cancer that he would have developed later. Did any of your evidence discuss that point?
I believe the experts, respondents' experts in this matter, discussed how his prostate cancer would have developed irrespective if he had never fought fires. So there was actually evidence to the contrary of that. And prostate cancer is not diagnosed until, obviously, he had the biopsy, and that biopsy was deemed malignant. So there was no evidence that he even had prostate cancer until the biopsy date. So if you're looking at it from an aggravation standpoint, there was essentially no pre-existing condition. There was only the actual injury date or incident date, which we believe is the date of the biopsy. So for purposes of this case, and what this court further analyzed in the Zukowski case, is that you have to just analyze the statistical significant risk factors and weigh them. So per the LeMaster study, the firefighting increased risk is 30%. We have evidence here, which the judge felt maybe constrained by the Christ case because she didn't have the interpretation through Zukowski, but she couldn't consider the evidence of the 300 to 500% increased risk. due to his family history and compare that to the 30%, because she did not address that in her order. And respondents here are requesting a remand back to the ALJ to consider the evidence based on the correct standards set forth in the Zukowski case. We're not asking for a reversal. We're just asking for the ALJ now to fairly consider the risk factors as substantial evidence that potentially may or may not change her opinion.
Well, didn't she consider all the testimony that the employer put on of risk factor and decide that the risk factors associated with that did not outweigh the risk factor which Dr. Mayer talked about?
Again, the ALJ in her order in discussing the risk factors basically said and credited Dr. Mayer's testimony that the firefighting plus the family risk factors, the combination, was what caused his prostate cancer. And it's our position that that's an incorrect standard to apply. You cannot argue a combination of the risk factors because again, once the presumption is met, there's always going to be that firefighting plus whatever other risk factors are present for that individual. You're never going to be able to separate that out once the presumption is met.
Now, let me ask you a question. Without the change in the presumption, without the presumption that the statute gives, a fireman who has cancer would have to prove what exposure caused the cancer and that exposure occurred on duty and therefore he's entitled to compensation.
Correct.
So there's no way to prove that, is there?
There is not. And that's why the General Assembly initially enacted this statute, to protect the firefighter in that instance, because it is difficult to ascertain every exposure he's experienced in his tenure.
He cannot prove it by putting on risk factors.
Well, that was the problem. There's so many exposures and so many risk factors that the General Assembly said, hey, if you meet this criteria, we're going to give you the presumption of causation.
And that's a reasonable thing to do, is it not?
I believe so. However, in the General Assembly, in purposefully creating the rebuttable presumption, created an avenue for respondents to defend these types of cases. If respondents are prohibited from introducing evidence of risk factors as evidence to overcome the statutory presumption, and under the Crist case, if we're prohibited from disputing the scientific validity of the statute itself, then essentially the statute is a strict liability statute.
Sorry to interrupt you. The ALJ didn't prohibit any evidence coming in. The ALJ allowed you to put on all the evidence you wished, and she discussed all the evidence that you presented. So how is this like the Castle Rock case, where the ALJ refused to consider the evidence?
The ALJ in Zukowski, and I was co-counsel on that case as well, did also allow the evidence to come in regarding risk factors. However, both orders, in respondents' opinion, do not adequately assess risk factors. Instead, they specifically state risk does not equate medical causation, therefore it's insufficient to overcome the statutory presumption. The Zukowski court found no, risk factors are sufficient to overcome the statutory presumption, irrespective of the fact that they do not equate to medical causation.
The statute says you have to produce medical evidence.
Correct. And medical evidence in the form of medical testimony, analysis of the scientific epidemiological studies, and it's our position that, you know, based on this claimant's family history and the medical records that comport with that, you know, for him going for PSA level testing since he was quite young, that constitutes the medical evidence necessary.
You also argue in your brief that the legislature should not have included prostate cancer in the statute under whatever the term is, what system is that? I can't remember
Well, for purposes of today, we are withdrawing that argument that respondent did not, or that claimant did not meet his.
Can you tell me what the word is?
Genitourinary.
So we're no longer.
You're not arguing that.
No, we're no longer disputing that he met that initial presumption. Solely the issue for here today is, did we overcome the statutory presumption and what type of evidence may be considered, because we feel that risk factors were not considered by the ALJ here.
And counsel, in paragraph 14, the ALJ wrote, predisposition and risk factors do not equate to medical causation.
Correct.
It's that sentence that you say indicates that the ALJ did not evaluate the risk factors, even though she discussed all this evidence of risk factor?
Correct. She applied the incorrect standard, and this is identical to the Zukowski case. That's exactly what the ALJ in Zukowski found in this court.
But actually, in Zukowski, the ALJ said a claimant's cancer comes from, the ALJ said the employer must show that the claimant's cancer comes from a specific cause not occurring on the job. That's not what the ALJ said here.
Well, in ALJ Zukowski came to that conclusion based on the same testimony from Dr. Mayer that risk does not equate cause. That is where the ALJ based his opinion on in Zukowski. The ALJ in this matter is basing her opinion on the similar exact testimony.
But the ALJ didn't make that conclusion that's in the Zukowski case, which the Zukowski court found very important.
Well, I think it's the same proposition, even though the wording is different. Your Honors, I'm out of time.
You can finish your answer,
okay.
Please.
The wording in the order in Zukowski obviously is different from the wording here in Milan. However, it still equates the same proposition that the ALJ's, if you can't prove an actual cause, this ALJ felt that risk factor, because there was no actual cause of cancer, then the risk factors are not enough either. And that is the problem that we have here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel.
Good morning, members of the court, Firefighter Milan, counsel, and fellow citizens. As you know, I represent Firefighter Milan and have represented numerous firefighters. In fact, I was the attorney on both the Chris, a case involving a firefighter who died of brain cancer, and Zukowski, a case of a firefighter who suffered a pretty severe case of melanoma, almost took his life. I'm not here to argue against the Zukowski case. I'm trying to do that at the Supreme Court at the current time, and I'm hoping to be successful. I am arguing that although counsel suggests that this is merely an interpretation of Section 841-209, which I'll call the Firefighter Cancer Presumption Statute, in fact, it is really a clear application and requires you to apply Section 8-43-308, which lays forth the basis for overcoming a decision of the Industrial Claims Appeals Office or an ALJ. It is our position that, in fact, the evidence was very well weighed by the ALJ, and in fact, took into account what was part of the record, i.e. the legislative history, to render a decision consistent with the legislative history. Now, there's the big problem we have here. It's a question of words, but I will tell you that our position is very clearly that risk does not equal cost. And you know from the various articles that we cited, including one from doctors who have analyzed cause, and they say quite clearly, the fact that there's a risk factor does not mean risk doesn't make a cancer inevitable.
Counsel, sorry to interrupt you. It seems like, although you start off by saying you're not here to argue against the Zukowski decision, that sounds like an argument against the Zukowski decision.
Well, yes. But if I were to use my 15 minutes in that way, I would not do justice to Milan. I will just start by saying they're wrong. They were wrong. The Court of Appeals was wrong at that point. Your colleagues were wrong at that point. When they said, we conclude to the contrary that the presumption can be overcome by establishing that the risk of cancer from other sources outweighs the risk of creating firefighting.
How can that happen? I mean, since they don't know what causes cancer, how can you ever make a decision about what evidence outweighs the other in that regard?
Well, the irony of this is that the legislature, and you have in my brief, an area which I didn't explore adequately, in my opinion, in Zukowski, the legislative history, where Serbo tells you, Representative Mike Serbo, who's now outside of the legislature, but he says, our purpose is pretty clear. What I want to do is make sure that firefighters are protected. He states quite clearly, and you know this from your review, the statute is very simple. It's about helping our heroes in their effort to get medical attention and financial protection should they be stricken by cancer. Why? Because there's a recognition that firefighting in itself exposes these men and women to carcinogens, and those carcinogens are cancer. They are proven to be cancer causing.
But it is a rebuttable presumption.
Right? It is.
If you're arguing against that, you're arguing against the statute.
No, so I say that, yes.
All right. And Zukowski or Kesselrock, they said the presumption may be rebutted by evidence of risk factors.
Risk does not equal cause. Are there cases where there could be medical evidence overcoming? Yes. I have a couple of them that I can tell you about. Imagine a 10-year firefighter is diagnosed with colon cancer, part of the digestive system. However, this particular cancer is a parathyroid hyperplasia, which is part of an endocrine system.
So, if we decide, and then despite your well-reasoned arguments here, if we decide to follow the Zukowski case, does your client lose?
No, the case gets remanded for further consideration.
So if we follow Zukowski, we cannot affirm, we must remand.
I believe that is the case because, again, you're saying that the judge failed to properly reweigh the evidence as a matter of law under Section 8-41-209. Now, that's what I said. Now, when you say this cause issue, why is this so critical? Well, in fact, the legislature, based on risk analysis, found in the Lemaster study, which I've quoted to you, and which was before the legislature, along with the testimony of Dr. Weaver. Dr. Weaver is out of Johns Hopkins and her colleague, and the testimony, her testimony to the legislature was convincing on the fact that these risk factors should be presumed to equal causation. But there was no discussion saying that other risk factors could overcome the presumption, because risk doesn't equal cause. But this is a causation determination. Yes, Judge?
The master study was based on risk factor. You just said that, right?
I said that's the irony, isn't it?
And the respondent's evidence is based on risk factors.
That's
so
right.
Can't their evidence of risk factors be considered to overcome the presumption that itself emanates from the Lemaster studies of risk factors?
No. And this is not because the legislator says it doesn't. We are saying we have established cause. They have established risk. Now,
but then Kesselrock says you must take into account risk factors. And you want us to
your colleagues, I'll say nothing further. However,
well, you didn't say, even though Zukowski had been announced before your answer brief, you did not address it at all or give us any reason not to follow it.
Is there any, well, because of the Chris decision, because I have it up at the cert right now, and each bounce seems to make, I found it somewhat confusing that Zukowski felt that its opinion was consistent with the Chris case. But maybe better minds than mine can figure that out. But what came up, you know what Zukowski bring up, and it's really interesting. I'm preparing the case here, and I don't know, I happen to come across a cross-examination of Dr. Mayer, my expert, and all of a sudden it pops off the page. Well, are there other risk factors? Well, says Mayer, well, yeah, race and age. Well, what do you mean? She says, well, African Americans have higher risk of prostate cancer than white Americans. Oh, I'm really happy to know that our black firefighters face an even higher burden when the presentation of their cases. Now, you've been around, you've listened to the news. Several years ago, we're told that drinking coffee, 8 cups of coffee a day, reduces the risk of prostate cancer. So if you're not major coffee drinker, you've got an increased risk. Now, what about the recent one? Fish oil. We've been told for years to take fish oil. But alas, we now find that the fish oils seem to increase the risk of prostate cancer. How far do you go? Since you don't know what risk causes cancer, and we do know that the legislature said, in fact, prostate cancer is the result in firefighters, the special group, as a determination. We have determined that this causes this, and we've done this for social policy reason.
Counsel, I noticed a few times today you referred to legislative history, and then you submitted a large stack of legislative history very recently. I don't understand why you think we should consider it. Do you think the statute is ambiguous in some important way?
No, I don't. The problem that comes up here is that the districts are consistently arguing of how much burden was placed on them, ignoring the rational evaluation of evidence by the legislature in passing the presumption. Don't forget, we had in the legislature, we had the testimony of Judge Dammack from the University of Colorado. We had the testimony of Dr. Waxman at the University of Colorado. Dr. Fox was from Pinnacle. All three said the presumption should not be passed. All three said that it is not scientifically viable. The legislature listened to the testimony of Weaver and her colleague from Johns Hopkins and relied on the Masters article to determine that causation is sufficiently established by the risk factors identified, as you say, Your Honor, in the Master study, to warrant the presumption, a clear recognition that they are making a social policy decision to protect firefighters.
So is it your position that the employer must establish alternate causation?
It is our position that he must do more than speculate that a risk may cause cancer in the future, because what we know is causation is established presumptively by the legislation as of the passage date in May of 2007.
But you're saying then that risk factors can't overcome that presumption.
Well, I'm not sure that that's right. I'll give you another example where there might be risk factors which could overcome it. I want you to imagine a firefighter who has had basal cell carcinoma, and he has, as a result of that basal cell carcinoma, had basal cell 9 or 10 removed over time. Well, it turns out, if he becomes a firefighter, he's in for 5 years, has another basal cell carcinoma, there's almost 100% likelihood that this is a risk factor of such a pervasive disease process prior to becoming the firefighter. So yes, there may be circumstances where there are disease processes, for example, the one I told you, there's no known other cause about the person who has that.
Well, there's testimony in this record that your client had a PSA count of 1.5 or 1.8, and a physical that he took before he went to work for the employer, and one of the employer's experts said that means he had cancer.
That's the argument. However, it was rejected. The argument that was also, and there, because it was wonderful to have districts fighting with each other on causation, but there also was a determination of 1.5 that was not clinically significant. It has not become clinically significant until he underwent the biopsy in 2008.
But that's under the status of the practice at the time, correct?
Status of the practice at the time. The problem is, let's speculate. You see, I'm saying that speculation is not the equivalent of medical evidence. That's what I'm arguing. And when you speculate it might have caused cancer, we know from the people that study causation in cancer that the fact that there's a risk factor does not make it inevitable. We know that the claimant has cancer, so therefore the causation is established by the statute.
Let me ask you this. When an expert says there's a 500, I think, I don't know what, remember precisely the number, 500 to 1,000 elevation in the risk factor, because of his family history. Right. What is the base? I mean, are we still at a very low risk because of the family, or is the risk now very high?
Well, now you've raised this at risk equals the big C.
No, that's not what I'm asking.
Does it matter if it's 1,700%? I don't think so, because you cannot show that that was a cause or non-contributing, whatever carcinogen exposure is presumed to be the causation here.
But under that analysis, you can never overcome the presumption.
I will tell you, you can. It can be done. The fact that we don't have...
How does the risk have to be to overcome the presumption?
Excuse me?
If 1,700 doesn't do it,
Let's talk about the presumption, and let's talk about the familial presumption for individuals that are 49 years old, 100,000 of them, only 75 have contracted prostate cancer. But there are numerous others in that category, in that universe, that have a familial problem, have a familial predisposition, theoretically precursor, but they don't contract it. Why? They don't know. But we do know one thing, that firefighter Milan was exposed to carcinogens, and we do know that none of the doctors could say what the influence of carcinogens was on a familial cancer.
Nobody can tell us what carcinogens.
No, they can't.
He was exposed.
And you understand, I think you would see that from Dr. Milliken's testimony. Let's think about that for a second. Now, this is genetic.
Counsel, could I ask one quick question because your time is almost up? I just want to make sure I understood your earlier answer. You concede that if we follow the Zukowski case, we must remand the ALJ for further consideration. Correct?
Certainly the worst of all possible worlds, yes.
And the answer is yes.
Yes. I mean, I'm not... How you decide to fashion your decision and ignore Section 8-43-308 is certainly up to you. But I wish I could have, on a genitourinary thing, you know... Yeah, I mean, they don't know. And you want to turn speculation into causation? Have you done that in any other case, in any other area of the law? I don't think so.
Counsel, thank you for your argument.
Thank you, Judge.
Exhausted. We will issue an opinion in due course, and I want to thank both counsel for their excellent arguments on this very interesting case.